Before we open and read God's word, I want you to, if you would, pray with me for the Spirit as we open that precious word together. So will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you have promised that when we open your word, when we study your word, when we meditate it on our hearts, that Heavenly Father, your Spirit would be directing us. And so, Father, as we open this word to the book of Proverbs, that, Lord, your Spirit would be working in our hearts. The Heavenly Father, each one of us comes at a different stage of life with different needs, with different temptations, with different thoughts, different anxieties. And Lord, we bring them into this place. We bring them in. We lay them before your word. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit we would be able to apply the things we study this evening to that life. We pray, Lord, that you would be with me as I lead your people through the word, and that, Lord, you would bless me with your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. Book of Proverbs, chapter 17. And there we will read one verse. Proverbs 17, we will read only verse 6. Please give your attention to the reading of God's word. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Thus far, the reading of God's word. I invite you to keep it open there in your laps, as we'll be referring to it later, not just this, because you probably just memorized these few words. But nonetheless, we're going to see how what this short little proverb, what God has to say about it. You're probably wondering, how in the world do I come to such a passage? And my family's over there. They might know. But on June 13, I became a grandpa for the first time. My son and his wife, they had a boy. His name is Bowen Michael. And that was also the same weekend of Father's Day. And so, as that Father's Day rolled around, my son was having his first Father's Day. And I was having my first Father's Day as a grandfather. And so I can't remember if I sent this passage to him in a text or if I wrote it in a Father's Day card. I can't remember. But this was on my mind on that day. And I thought to myself, the next time that I have opportunity to preach, I'm going to preach from this passage. Because this has a lot to say for fathers and grandfathers, parents and grandparents, not only on the birth of a grandchild, or on Father's Day, or Mother's Day, or whatever it may be. It is a lot for us all. But if you're a grandparent, or if you have your own children and you've seen them interact with your parents, if you are a grandchild, there is something about that experience that gets us excited. Yes? Grandparents, the first time you saw a grandchild or your most recent grandchild, there's something about that. There is an excitement that comes with that. There is a happiness that just exudes out of us. It comes out of us, out of every pore. Now, my dad is here, and my brother has the same situation. When Bowen was born, we were able to take a four-generation picture together. Why does it excite us to do that? Why is it so... Why do grandparents go crazy over their grandchildren? Because it's true, they do. There is something about them that makes us feel wonderful. And so it doesn't matter if we're having our first child, our first grandchild, or we've had lots of them come into our lives, no matter what, there is something that is... There is a different set of emotions that come with all of this. But with all of that happiness, with all of that excitement, even as it just runs over, and as grandmas want to buy everything in the world for their grandkids, is there something more? Is there something more than just what that brings us? Can we take away more than just the anticipation, the promise of that life as it grows? Is there something more for us beyond the cuteness? Is there something more beyond the colic, the late night feedings, the dirty diapers, the sleepless nights, the sleepovers at grandpa's and grandma's? Is there something more for all of us? And that's what I want us to see this evening as we look at this very short proverb. To see that God has given us all that we need as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to have generational joy. Joy that spans over multiple generations. And it's not tied to just our emotions in the moment with our grandkids, with our children, whatever that may be. So what I want us to take away this evening is that is when we intentionally share our faith in Christ, that is what we need to do in order to experience generational joy. This passage has a lot for us to say, more than we'll be able to handle in this evening, but that's what I want us to take away, to intentionally share your faith in Christ in order to experience generational joy. Now, with that calling, with that desire, with that hope to do that, there are a lot of things that are going to get in the way. There is the lies of Satan himself. The lies of Satan that may come to a grandparent and say, you've done your part. You've lived your life. Or you've done that thing with raising kids and being, now it's your time. You can check out. There's temptations that come from within. There's temptations that come from without. There is many different things that we may do. There's temptations to parent the new parents. Nonetheless, there are plenty of things that are going to short circuit and undermine our desire for and our search for generational joy. But there is a better way. A way for joy that is not bound in the fleeting emotions and happiness of this life, and it is found in the rock, Jesus Christ alone. So, what do we need then to know, to see, to experience, to have generational joy? Well, the first thing is that we need to know that God intends for joy to be shared across the generations. Psalm 128, verse 6 says, "May you see your children's children, peace be upon Israel." Psalm 128 is a psalm of ascent, and so it was sung as God's people were making their way to the temple, making their way to worship. This verse, verse 6, comes at the end of the psalm. The psalm, pretty much most of it, is recounting the glories of the Lord in how he has blessed his people. And I would suggest to you, he saves the best for last as the psalm progresses. May you see your children's children. Bless, or peace be upon Israel. And so the greatest joy, the greatest blessing, the thing that we have to look for is that we would see our children's children, grandchildren, that we would see them, that we would be able to walk with them to worship, that we would be able to share the glories of the Lord with them, with our grandkids, a generational joy. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is probably a fairly familiar passage of Scripture to us. Deuteronomy 6 is where we read the Shema. That's where God's people would say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength." But I don't want us to look at that. I want us to look at what's in that context in verses 1 and 2. So Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long." So here is God coming to his people and saying, I want you to share generationally the good news of redemption in him, the one true God. Evidenced by as I bring you to the promised land, as I brought you out of Egypt. Take that message, take that good news, take that gospel and pass it down from one generation to the next. And then look what those last words of verse 2 are. That your days may be long. That you can have joy in the Lord. Blessing in the Lord. How and why? By passing down the gospel from generation to generation. They experience joy. One more passage, Acts 2, verse 39. Very familiar words, I'm sure, to you as well. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. This is from Peter's sermon on Pentecost. And here we see that Peter is talking about the promises is for your children and those who are far off. The idea of those who are far off can mean Gentiles, those who are not Jews, those who have yet to come to the Lord. It can also mean the generations yet to come. The promise is for the generations to come. The gospel, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all joy, is for the generations to come. So we see that God intends, through his promise, through his word, from one generation to the next, to pass along the joy that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his intention has always been throughout the scriptures. So, since this is what God designs, what do we need to do as a grandparent to have this generational joy? Look what the verse says. 17 verse 6, grandchildren are the crown of the aged. Again, with grandchildren, there is an exhilaration. There is a happiness. There is a goodness. There is a sense of pride that swells up. When I first held that grandchild of mine 12 hours after he was perhaps born. As I held him this past Friday at my parents' house as we were all hanging out together, there is a sense of joy and pride that comes over us, a happiness that is unexplainable, because what's there to be proud of? He sleeps, he eats, he poops, and he cries a lot. It's not like he just swam 1,500 meters in 15 minutes. He has done nothing to be proud of. And yet that's what swells in our hearts when our grandchildren are there with us. Why is that? Or is that all there is? Is there more? And that's what I want us to see here. There is so much more for us with this. So the understanding that I have here of the children are the crown of the aged isn't so much focusing on the idea of having this metal hat or a wreath of twigs and flowers that have been braided to be a crown, but it's more to do with the idea that is around being crowned, the idea of one who wears the crown. What does that mean for them? It means pride and honor and reward, blessing. It is a sign of glory. It is a symbol of all that gives us lasting joy. And that's why I equate in this verse the idea of having generational joy, because children are the crown of the ages. Now, in the way that we talk, we often use the word joy and happiness as synonyms, and for most part, they really are, right? I know before Bowen was born, the other grandfather and I, we would share things that we were going to do with our future grandchild just to tick off his daughter, my daughter-in-law, just to make her nervous. And so I sent him a picture of a child, we'll say 2 years old, And he's in one of those swings that you would put up in your home in a hallway. But this is tied to a wake tower on a boat. And this child is just swinging in the wake tower as they go across the lake. And as you look at the child's face, it is beaming with joy and happiness. Right? That's how we think of these words. But as we come to the Bible, joy and happiness are very distinct things. They are very different. Happiness is related to emotion. And so happiness can wax and wane. We can be just overcome with happiness one week and the next week be filled with sorrow and in the dumps. Happiness is tied to things that come and go. It can be fleeting. Happiness can bring us from a mountaintop experience and down and be lost and leave us in the dumps. And so it is flexible. It is not lasting. And so that's why we talk about joy here. Because joy in the Bible is something that we have in Jesus Christ, the rock. It does not fluctuate. It does not change. True joy is something that we experience that transcends our emotions, our happiness, our sadness. We can have wonderful joy even in the face of terrible, terrible disappointment because it is based on someone who is greater, apart from us, and he is transcendent. He is over all, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we're talking about something that is greater than just happiness. It is something that lasts, that can be counted on, that is solid. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And so as our Savior was looking forward to the cross, he had joy as he knew he would be estranged from the Father, suffer the pains of hell. He had joy. So joy is something even more substantial than we could ever imagine when it is found in Jesus Christ, when it is founded in him. So how do we begin to experience this kind of enduring joy with our grandchildren? It begins with being intentional about the gospel. The context of all of the book of Proverbs is, for the most part, the application of God's law, the application of God's covenant. It is how God's covenant law, his rule, is going to be worked out in the lives of his people. And so what I want to show you is that we are called to be intentional about the gospel if we're going to have generational joy. Proverbs 13, verse 22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, I am not a whiz at investing, but I know for sure enough that if I want to give little Bowen an inheritance of money when I pass away, I have to think about it now. I cannot think about it when I am on my deathbed and say, you know what? I wish I could give Bowen $50,000 of inheritance. No, I have to be intentional about it. I have to invest. I have to save. I have to do the things so that I can intentionally give him this thing. And so from that principle then, we need to be intentional about planning our time with our grandchildren. Intentional, thinking ahead, seeking the opportunity to share that which gives us our greatest joy. I don't often make such endorsements, but if you're going to be having your grandchildren in your home, you might read them books. My wife has been collecting books for years, in anticipation of Boeing arriving. What books are you going to read? Sure, you could read Curious George and the Man with the Yellow Hat, Richard Scarry. Great books, classics. But could we be more intentional? Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, they have a bookstore. For me, it's my favorite bookstore for theological books and pastoral books and counseling books. But they have, in the last 5 years, launched WestminsterKids.com, a bookstore specifically for children, where you can get any number of books for all different ages to help children understand who God is and the gospel, to pass along that which gives us the greatest joy. Recently, they released a book, Who Are You? A little book about your big identity. And so it's a book written for 4 to 7 year olds with awesome pictures, great prose, for a 4 to 7 year old to understand and begin to understand what their identity is in this world as an image bearer of God instead of what they might see in social media, the news, television, whatever it may be. Are we being intentional with the things that we read to our grandkids as they come to our house? Now, it doesn't have to always be a theme and 3 points when we talk to them, right? We can have fun. There can be fun books. But can we be intentional about what we put before them as grandpa and grandma? Let's go on. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. So what is this? How does this apply to relationship between grandpa, grandma, and their grandkids? Well, it's pretty easy for us as fallen human beings to be selfish with our time, to count our time more important than someone else's time, and not want to share it. But I would suggest to you that God, in his infinite wisdom, that when we're saved, when we know that we have joy in Jesus Christ, that he changes our hearts, and when we intentionally want to see the next generation grasp onto that truth, we won't think of our time that way. We will want to give of ourselves. We will want to welcome them into our world and try to insert ourselves into theirs so that we can build a relationship with them, so that we can share this true joy. For example, in my own life, my dad showed me how to work. I worked with him in the garden and in the yard. He had me out in the pole barn working on cars and things like that. But I have a very distinct memory with my grandpa Klosterman in his what seemed like a 30-acre garden, helping him water plants, pull weeds, do things like, and him explaining to me what it means to be a godly worker. Generationally, he was sharing with me what it means to be a godly man. As we're older, hopefully we have more wisdom. Hopefully we have that wise gray crown that the Lord blesses us with. We can take some time, right? Grandma, show me how to make cookies. Well, you know that's going to take a whole lot longer than if Grandma did it by herself. But instead, we can talk about ingredients. We can talk about recipes. We can talk about whatever. Build relationship and pour into them the joy of the Lord. Because we don't think our time is so precious to us, we're willing to share it with them and humbly share with them our lives. Again, to be intentional doesn't mean that every time we're with them, we're preaching a sermon at a two-month-old. That's not what we're getting at. But are we being intentional? When we do go fishing, or work on a car, or go shopping, build Legos, run errands, have fun, do exciting things, can we be prepared that in those moments, share the good news of Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. We usually apply that to our unbelieving neighbors or coworkers. I think that applies to our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that we would be ready and willing to share with them the reason, the hope that we have in a world that shows itself to be fallen day after day after day. Grandpa and Grandma, why do you have hope? It is because of Jesus Christ. So, how does this hope get transferred, experienced generationally? Third, families that intentionally live by faith will be blessed with this kind of joy. Proverbs 17, verse 6, grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. The glory of children is their fathers. So what I see here is an application that goes from the perspective of the child to the father, but also from the perspective of the father to the child. It's bringing two things to bear, two things to our mind as we go through this. And so first, what does this mean for fathers? Well, dads, it is a whole lot easier for our children to honor us, as this passage calls, when we ourselves are honorable. When we ourselves are honorable. And so this is a call for fathers, for parents, to live a life that is honorable to the Lord as an example in our homes. Proverbs 11, verse 29, whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind. And so fathers, mothers, parents, if we are not honorable, we will inherit the wind. Nothing. What is that? It is nothing. Generational joy lost because we have been dishonorable. Famous, familiar story from the book of Samuel, chapter 2. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And I declare to him, this is the Lord speaking, that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Eli was brought dishonor into his home, and his line was cut off from the Messiah forever. He did not share generational joy with his sons, and so they were worthless men, and they were lost. And so this is a challenge, this is a calling for fathers to help their children honor, find glory in their fathers by being honorable men. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Very familiar words, I'm sure, to all of us, especially dads, I hope. Because that's what our calling is with our children, to bring them up to fear the Lord, bring them up to know Jesus, bring them up to know his word, to know his promises, to have this generational joy that we are talking about. And how do we do that? Well, we can go back to Deuteronomy 6 for that, to be intentional. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when they sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. That's how we pass on this generational joy. That's how we see the next generation come to know this message. Now, for any new dad, I hope when you've heard that verse or that verse has come to mind as a new father, I hope your knees were shaking. But this is your responsibility as a father, as that new responsibility came to you. Because reality is, to be honorable men, we need the Lord. We need the community of faith. We need to be studying God's word. We need to be coming to worship. We need to be doing these things so that we honor the Lord, and so that our lives, that when our children look at us, they see Jesus and not us. And so, this short little paragraph, this short little proverb, I'm sorry, calls on fathers to be worthy of their children, honoring them and finding glory in them. All right? But what does this mean for children? Well, going back to Ephesians 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And so children, if you're a child and your parent is still living, that's our calling, is to honor our parents. That's what God wants us to do. And so they make that your goal. Seek to find things in your parent that is honorable and good. That if you're old enough to understand what God's word says, to say, wow, when I see mom do this, I see Jesus in her. When I see dad act this way or speak this way, I hear the voice of God speaking to me through his word and through his spirit. And so children, look for those things that we see in our parents. We see in the promise of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi that when Jesus comes, he says that the hearts of children return to their fathers. Think about that. That as fathers and mothers learn to be loving and kind and seek to raise their children in the fear of the Lord, the children's hearts are going to be turned from them, right? Little Bowen, right? He was crying all morning this morning. And his mother was like, he was being a stinker. I'm like, he was just letting his total depravity show. Because all children are born that way. But when our children can see Jesus through us, and they can honor us and then honor Christ through us, that will be the beginnings of generational joy for all of us. Proverbs 31, very familiar words. Her children rise up and call her blessed. For sure, this has got the attention on the righteous woman and the children rising up and calling her blessed, but I don't think that's all that this has to apply to. Children can also rise up and call their father blessed. In principle, that is reasonable. As children, think to do that. Try to do it. The Catechism calls us to be patient with our parents for their failings. So do that. Even if you're in those teen years and mom and dad are so dumb, be patient with them. Look for Jesus in them. And then praise the Lord. The reality is, however, that there are situations where the generations have been less than honorable. They have not honored the Lord in the way that they have been a father, in the way that they have been a parent. There are those who have sown the wind in their families. Drunkenness, abuse. They have chosen the idols of work and power, comfort, or addiction. And so, joy is lost in those families from generation to generation. The generations are hurt because instead of pointing the next generation to Jesus, they've pointed at themselves and they have lost. And so what can we do if that is our situation? If we have not been honorable for our children to see Jesus in us, if we have been poor fathers and poor mothers, what can we do? We begin where we begin with every sin, and that is to repent and ask for forgiveness. We're never too old, and our children are never too old. There's never too much time that has passed to ask forgiveness, to repent, and then point all involved to forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So how do we experience generational joy? Well, I suppose you could take this verse in the book of Proverbs and you could write a book just about that and the different ways that these things could happen. But I think for tonight, we just focus on what it means or how to be intentional about gospel living across the generations. That as grandparents, we move beyond just that wonderful feeling and enjoyment and pride that we have in those grandkids, and we find ways, we be winsome to share the joy of Christ with them. As fathers and as parents, we seek to honor the Lord Jesus Christ so that our children will see him through us. Be intentional about it. Be purposeful in it. And as children, can we Can we look at the generations that have gone before us? Not to idolize them, not to put them on a pedestal as those who are so perfect and wonderful, but to see the faithfulness of God, your Father, in them, with all of their failings and all their mistakes, but to see Jesus at work so that through the generations we might share a joy based on the rock, Jesus Christ himself. Joel 1 says, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation. In other words, intentionally share your faith in Christ in order to experience generational joy. Will you pray with me? Our merciful Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your amazing grace. For Lord, none of us are up for the task that we see here in the book of Proverbs. And so, Lord, that is what we desire, though. We desire to experience and know and share the joy of Jesus Christ across the generations. And so, Heavenly Father, where we have failed, we pray that you would forgive us, that your Spirit would mold us and shape us and move us to a place where we would be honoring to you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that where we have failed, that you would forgive us, and that we as families would be able to forgive each other and live at peace, live in the joy of the Lord together. Give us hearts and minds to be intentional and courageous, to appropriately share the good news of Jesus Christ across the generations. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We, left to ourselves, would always seek comfort, will always seek to go to a place that is much easier. But Heavenly Father, give us a taste of what true joy is, and then lead us through your Spirit to love this promise and to pass it on. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.